Hi, this is Molly Annell, and you're listening to Music Journeys Podcast with my friend Kim Sear.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single, Dior, by Vancouver songstress Molly Annell here on Music's Journey. We're going to hear that in just a little bit. At 18 years old, Molly relocated to Toronto, and she came armed with a mesmerizing voice that is well beyond her years, and it's so impossible to ignore. Thanks to that distinctive flair for blending language to fit melody, the young musician is ready to take the world by storm. She likes to craft music into that dreamy R&B with a bit of an edge, and combining that essence of that R&B jam and the pop that results in a tone all her own. Here to talk about the exciting journey in music and her new single is Molly Annell. Hi, Molly.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you, hon?
I'm great.
What a pleasure it is to have you on the show, Molly.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You've had quite the journey. Tell everybody about that for listeners that may not know you, because you started at such a young age.
Yeah, so I started, you know, making music, playing piano, being interested in music when I was fresh out the womb, basically. I come from a super musical background. My parents are both avid music lovers and creatives, but I really started to get into, you know, the professional side of music when I was like 8 and 9 years old. I was, you know, out in LA in music studios with producers and stuff, but I was also learning how to produce on Logic when I was 9, so I was really getting into it from a very young age.
Crazy.
So it's been a journey. Yeah.
Crazy. They named you the Young Composer of the Year, so you're writing four-part harmonies for the Vancouver Chamber Choir. So how did you know at that young, like, when did your parents say, okay, you know, we need to start getting her in front of, you know, some special people?
Yeah, so that competition was definitely a defining moment in my life, because I never really, you know, when I get asked what was the moment you decided you wanted to make music, I never really have an answer. But I would say, like, the moment that I won that competition, especially only being 9, that was one of the moments definitely that I knew I wanted to make music. But my parents, they never wanted to force me into anything. They wanted to make sure I had a childhood and that, you know, I wasn't getting overwhelmed by too many people watching me and watching what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I was asking them if I could, you know, go into music studios and sing for people. So they were kind of more going on my trajectory than me going on their trajectory. They're super supportive, but they wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to get overwhelmed with anything. So
yeah, because it's really, really hard, you know, at a young age. Like, mm-hmm. we think that we want to do stuff and we're excited about doing those things, and that creative side of you obviously is really, you know, pronounced in your life, part of your craft. Mm-hmm. But I think that distinction comes when you hit like 14, 15, where,
yes,
you know, all your friends are doing, like, it's the high school, you know, look, and everybody getting to know new people. It's just a whole new journey to be in high school. What was that like for you? Because at 14 years of age, you released your first CD.
My friends were always super supportive of me. I don't really talk about my music that much with my close friends back home in Vancouver, because I just try to keep that part of my life separate from everything else. But
smart
people. Yeah, people in high school weren't really like excited about me making music, especially when I was 14. And that album I released, even though it has a special place in my heart, it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. I was working with a producer who had, and a manager who had their own ideas for what they wanted me to be. And so to begin with, I wasn't proud of the product. And then people at school, you know, can be mean and can kind of, you know, step all over your dreams when in the first place you weren't even excited about the product. So
it is hard, you know, when it comes to that peer pressure and mm-hmm. what it's like to be able to have somebody just, and people are dealing with that all the time, and I'm sure you still do, you know, all artists do. You'll have your positives mm-hmm. and your negatives. There's always going to be people that like your what you're doing, and then there's mm-hmm. going to be other people that, you know, they're just out there and that's what they do. It's got nothing really to do with you whatsoever. It's got more to Absolutely. Do with them. And
yes.
that's hard, you know, to brace yourself and have that, you know, thick kind of skin, you know, when you're yeah. going through life. Just difficult when it comes to being able to navigate life, especially mm-hmm. at that age, to know what your dreams are, to know that you got a gift and be able to want to look at that craft so much more to what you wanted to do and getting your feelings out. Because I know it's really important to you to write down your feelings.
Yes.
And, yeah. And to navigate the lyrics that way. That's why you connected with so many people. And that's why 604 took notice of you. And Jonathan Simkin is an amazing scout for sure. When, you know, when it comes yeah. to talent, he knows what he's looking for, and they don't bring anybody to that label unless mm-hmm. it's 100% what they're looking for. And Jonathan does an amazing job when it comes to being able to, you know, bring on talent like yourself. What was it like yeah. to be able to hear from him?
It was really like I was not expecting it to happen, because shortly after I released that CD when I was 14, I decided that it was time for me to start producing for myself, because mm-hmm. I was sick of being told what I should do and what I should sound like. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't the best producer when I was 14. I was still learning. So I wasn't expecting anything to come out of the EP, Pick Me Ups, that I released. But one of the songs, by some miracle, just blew up, and Jonathan found it and liked it and realized that he had some mutual friends with my family. So uh-huh. it was all kind of a fluke situation. But when we did get that message that he wanted to meet with us, it was like, I was like, there's no way that this is real. This is happening. But, you know, when you meet Jonathan, you talk to him, he's so no BS. He's just so straight up with mm-hmm. you. And that's what I really like in a person, is he tells you, you know, I want you here, and I want your sound to be part of our label. And it was just like exactly what I needed to hear to drive me forward and to be the artist I wanted to be, because I was intimidated by the thought of working with people again. But, mm-hmm. you know, him saying he wanted my sound, it really just put that in my head that, okay, this is about what I want and what kind of artist I want to be. And I was ready to go on that journey with him and with the label.
And it's been a wonderful journey ever since.
Mm-hmm. It has. They're great. I love them.
Now, you did, that resulted in your label debut, which was Winter Waves, which is yes. that Christmas anthem that you garnered so many streams on Spotify alone. What did that mm-hmm. feel like to see that recognition, to hear people love your music so much?
Yeah, so it was so, I mean, all of it was just so unexpected. We made Winter Waves in the middle of making my debut album, Elevator Music. So it was kind of like, you know, during the 3 years we were working on Elevator Music, we kind of popped in Winter Waves. We mm-hmm. wrote it in August. It was just Louise and I, my producer, we were just messing around. It wasn't really a serious, like, okay, we're going to sit down and write a Christmas song. It was just kind of a, you know, we could write a Christmas song. And then we did, which is, you know, the way it usually goes with Louise, because it's just no pressure. It's really, really, like,
that's
really
gotta,
relaxed.
That's going to yeah. be so nice for you.
Oh, it's amazing, especially working with a, you know, a female producer. My team is primarily made up of women, which is really great, because we're all just so supportive of each other. But that is besides the point. Winter Waves was, you know, such a fun little baby project. And I was not expecting it to blow up in the way it did. You know, I'd be walking around the mall back home in Vancouver and I would hear it and I'd be like, what? This is me. Like, because nice. Christmas songs, they sell. And as a Jewish person, I was like, do I want to make a Christmas song? Heck yeah, I do.
Very cool. Very, yeah. very cool. What was your influences growing up? Like, what inspired you musically and impacted your life that you wanted to pursue music?
Yeah, so I have a lot of music lovers, in not just in my immediate family, but my mom's family, I have a lot of people who are pursuing careers in music on that side. And my uncle, he's in a band, and he's been in a band for many years, and he used to send me CDs for Christmas when I was little, back when we had a CD player in the car. And so I think one of the first CDs he sent me was Amy Winehouse, Lioness, Hidden Treasures. And that one really influenced me, because I just love that silky R&B sound. I think it's just something I've always gravitated toward since I was young. And my, you know, my parents used to play the classics like the Commodores, and just smooth stuff like that. And my dad also played in a cover band for years and years. He still does. But that stuff was more like classic rock, which it wasn't really my speed. I liked the smoother stuff. So, yeah, my influences definitely are Amy Winehouse, and more recently, Sabrina Claudio, SZA, Janae Aiko. Artists like that. But I'm also a huge Mariah Carey fan and Whitney Houston fan. I love the divas. The vocalists, they're incredible.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Yeah. Because you're very distinct. You definitely, like, there's ways that I describe you, is that you definitely know you write your lyrics with intent. And that's really amazing, you know, at your age.
Thank you.
And to be able to navigate exactly what you want to do. And you're always going to keep evolving, because your life journey is going to keep evolving. And if you're writing from that place, and that's always going to be so amazing to see what you're going to be capable of, because your vocals are killer.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. I've been really working on my voice for the past few years. So thank you.
And making that move to Toronto must have been a real big one for you.
Oh, yeah, it was terrifying. I didn't think I was going to go in the first, you know, the first time I got the email saying I got accepted into the program here, which is it's a music production program. But I was offered a scholarship that I couldn't defer if I wanted to, like, wait for a year, stay back in Vancouver. I had to, you know, take the scholarship right away, or I wouldn't be able to have it. So my parents were, you know, they were sad because I'm their youngest, and they definitely wanted to keep me in the house for longer, keep me home. And especially because I'm such a homebird, I love Vancouver, I love the West Coast. They were like, you should go, you need to go explore. And I'm so happy they encouraged me to come out here, because I absolutely love it. It is such a fun city. It's so diverse. It's so, you know, there's so much to do, and the people here are just so sweet and nice, and everyone I've met is so supportive, especially in my program. We all support each other. There's no jealousy, because we all have something different to bring to the table. But yeah, I'm so happy I moved out here. It's awesome being by myself, even though it's scary, only being 18, being all the way across the country from my family. It's awesome. I love it.
Good for you. Because the music industry, the Torontonians are amazing, but the Toronto music scene is pretty spectacular, and you're going to get exposed to an awful lot of, you know, different genres that, you know, influence music today. And regardless to whether or not that's the music that you play, you're hearing so much in different tones and different textures and different types of instruments that you could use. You know, it's always evolving, right? So it's kind of cool to be exposed to all that. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I love it.
Very nice. Now, you closed out, like, there's been so many, let's you know, talk about the restrictions and get all of that out of the way, the things that have been going on with the pandemic, because it hasn't been easy. You know, when you're coming off of that momentum that you did, and then you released two songs. You had your two brand new songs that you were releasing for Elevator Music, and then you another one again this year, and then releasing your album. That had to have been pretty scary too, because you're not able to go out and do the radio tours. You're not able to go out and do all the things that you normally would and get used to doing all of that.
Yeah.
What was that like for you going through all of this?
It was kind of a bummer not being able to, you know, go out and sing, because live performance is something that I've always loved ever since I was little. I grew up dancing, so I was always on stages. But just having the songs come out was so exciting because All In, the first single I released from the album, I recorded when I was 15. And it came out when I was 17. So I was just waiting and waiting on that one to come out.
Oh man, that's a long time to wait.
Yes, especially Holy because cow. those are such formative years between 15 and 17. So much changes, especially mm-hmm. in my voice. So I was, you know, I still love the song so much. I could never get sick of that one. But I was like, I need this to be out now. Because this whole album, I mean, some of the vocals are from freshly 14-year-old Molly. And some of them are from 18-year-old Molly. So, I mean, it's crazy. Or not 14, 15. Not that young. Mm-hmm. Freshly 15-year-old Molly and then 18-year-old Molly. So, I mean, it was more exciting for me to just have that stuff be out there.
Wow.
Yeah. I kind of took my focus away from not being able to perform.
The one thing that you're going to hear a lot, you're going to hear an awful lot. It's one thing to release to radio and to be mm-hmm. in a studio recording. What makes an artist and creates the fan base that stay loyal to you is the live performances.
Yes.
And if you can Absolutely. Perform live and you can engage with the fans and the fans, you know, really dig what you're doing and they really love this, then, you know, you're going to do extremely well. So that's why they tell you, it's just that practice, getting out there and doing your music live makes all the difference in the world. And being exposed to other artists, you know, that you may Yes. open for and, you know, watch what they do and just taking in everything that you're seeing, you know, on stage.
Absolutely, yeah. And before I moved out to Toronto, I had the pleasure of performing one last show. I'll be back in Vancouver. I'm saying this like I'm dying or something. I'm fine. But I had the pleasure of performing a show before I left at Guilt & Company, which is a really super cool bar in Vancouver. And it felt amazing to be back up on that stage again, especially because I got to share the stage with one of my really good friends, Max. He played guitar for me, so yeah, it's just and being up there again and having so many new faces come up to me and then getting those Instagram follows, you know, of those people you recognize from the audience, it's just the best feeling. And I can't wait to do that here in this brand new city. And I think I'm going to an open mic like this week.
Oh nice.
So yeah, just trying to get back out there.
Now you released Sunday, and this yeah. track, I absolutely love this song for you. And that just shows that evolving side of your music. And the fans absolutely loved it too.
Yeah. So Sunday I wrote right at the beginning of the lockdown. It was a very personal song because I was going through a lot at that point in my life. I struggle with, you know, anxiety and some bad intrusive thoughts, so I was getting pretty overwhelmed, and my first instinct was just to run. It was in the middle of dinner and I was like, Mom, Dad, I have an idea, I have to go. And they're fine, they're like, go. So I ran into the little home studio and I just started writing this song, and when I was done with it, I was like, this might be my favorite song I've ever written.
Mm-hmm. I
love it too. And I took it to Louise and she loved it as well. And we worked on it with our friend Jared. And it took a few tries at a fully formed song to get it perfect because I held that song so dearly to my heart. I was mm-hmm. just so proud of the way it turned out. I was like, no, it has to be perfect. And I put poor Jared through the ringer. I made him redo so many different things on production. I'm very nitpicky with production mm-hmm. now that I'm older and wiser, and I know it's my name that's going on the song at the end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the response I got to that song was unbelievable, and I actually had my really, really close friend Natalie draw the art for the cover, so it's all really like special, you know, mm-hmm. the whole project is very special to my heart.
Well, you should be very proud, very, very proud of what you've
Thank
done
you.
Because it means something to, even though like you're going to be honing your craft and changing constantly, that mm-hmm. first mm-hmm. album, that this one in particular, that first album's always going to mean something so, so much to you.
Yes, absolutely. It means so much to me, but I'm so excited to have this new stuff coming out.
I know.
Soon.
So we have to let everybody know too that they can, because you released Elevator Music and that was out earlier this year. And so that's available February. Right now. And being able to talk about that, you know, and what that meant to you. And now getting into the brand new single. And this one's just turning that corner even a little bit more. I love this one. Such a cool track. Tell us about this one.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad you like it. This song was the product of the most fun session ever. Louise and I had our good friend Parker Bosley come in for this one because we worked together, Parker and I, a few times. He's played bass for me on some live stuff. And then
Talking about Parker Bosley?
Yeah, Parker Bosley. Okay. Yeah. And he's played bass for Louise before. And he was saying, you know, the three of us have to get into a room together and just see what happens. And that is exactly what we did. And what we did is we didn't have any really specific ideas. But we were eating our breakfast / lunch and listening to Mariah Carey's old stuff. And we just loved that, like, glittery, smooth R&B sound, like that expensive sound. So we started a Google Doc, and Parker just started writing the most expensive words he could think of. And then from that, it was kind of like Mad Libs. Like, we were just putting these words in into, like, verses. And then I recorded a scratch vocal, and it was like, hey, you know what? This is sounding pretty good. And I mean, it's such a, like, it was so many jokes, you know, that went into the song, like the, ooh, that's delicious. Like that part, you know, we were all laughing hysterically when we were writing it, but it turned out to be a banger.
Yeah. It's a really, really cool song. And like you said, methodically, it's very, you know, that sweet, you know, feeling to it where that song dives into all the fantasies of being rich and lavish and backed up by your instrumental. So it's really cool. Very good song.
Now, thank you.
That one, as I said, writing that one is pretty cool. We got to talk about Louise Burns because she is so talented.
Oh my gosh. I could talk about her all day.
So what was that like just meeting her?
Oh man, it was like angels were singing to me. I remember the day I met her so well. I was about 15. It was right when I started at 604. Mm-hmm. And I remember what she was wearing. I remember like the cafe we went to. We went to this like small little cafe and we sat by the window and we just talked about our favorite artists. And, you know, she talked to me a little bit about her life and her background. And she is an incredible woman. Like, she's so talented, but she's so humble and she's so magnetic. And she gave me so much confidence in that moment to be the young artist that I wanted to be and not what everyone else wanted me to be, because she knew exactly what that was like coming from a background of being a young artist herself and touring the world when she was only 15 in Lilix. So she's, you know, she's instilled such good morals into me, and I'm so grateful that I've gotten to work with her for the past 3 years. You know, she's tough. She's definitely tough. I'll bring her a song that I think is like fully done and fully written, and she'll be like, okay, I'm gonna go make coffee, change this, and this by the time I come back. And I'm like, oh my God, okay. And then she comes back and I'm like, this is what I have.
But that's all a part of that growing. When it comes to going into writing sessions and being able to be open and seeing what can develop, you know, in something that you start with, and it might sound a lot different when you're finished with it, but, you know, it's just what people can do, you know, when you're surrounded with a great team. And Louise Burns, man, she is pretty spectacular. And it's so nice that she's been through what you have and, you know, she can help guide you. And that's so important at this stage in your career, you know, to have people that know exactly what you're going through. And that's pretty amazing. This one is called Dior, and we're going to play this one right now. This is pop indie sensation singer-songwriter Molly Annell here on Music's Journey. Honey,
take up this red earth and build a castle. Fill it up with sapphire and Dior. Some fun while looking for the one. shots in first class. Shea butter down the coast. Spread that shit like it's on toast, honey.
Was the brand new single Dior by an incredibly talented singer-songwriter, Molly Annell. So happy for you. What a great song.
Thank you so much. Oh, I'm so happy you like it.
I can't wait to see a video. I could just imagine where your visual artistic flair is going to be in this one.
Oh yeah. We may or may not have a live video, a live version of this song coming out, which is going to be... If it comes out, I'm not singing anything, not giving any spoilers away, but if I were to have recorded that, it would have been the day after we finished the song. So
nice. Very yeah. Good. So everybody should be watching what, Instagram?
Yeah, my Instagram for updates, or the 604 Records Instagram. They're really good about updating people on my stuff because I am really bad at Instagram.
Well, it takes time because you have to, gosh, you got to do it full time, right?
It's oh my gosh, yeah.
All the social media is just takes a full time career just doing that and just keeping up with everything and getting it out there. And it's just you got to put on all those different kinds of hats. And I'm sure that's, you know, by a year when I go to talk to you for another interview, you wait. It's mm-hmm. going to be nothing for you. And I'm going to be going, okay, tell me, keep me up to date. Just keep me up to date. I'll be looking to you for some advice.
Yes. Oh, Instagram. It's just so hard. It's just, there's so much to remember to do. And it's like, ugh.
Oh, well, what about TikTok? Are you on there?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm on TikTok. I cannot deal with TikTok, but I'm doing it. Doing what I gotta do, man. I feel so like I need to take a shower after I make a TikTok promoting my music. I'm like, oh, God, Molly, you're selling out. But this is the world we live in. I had to put on fake eyelashes for the last TikTok I made.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I was like, what am I doing with my life right now?
Oh, you and Kaya, I'm telling you. You and Kaya are going to have to talk, definitely. What has been the most significant moment for you so far?
I mean, like, in my life or mm-hmm. like in music?
In this music career.
Okay, I was going to say, in my life there's been a few, but with music, I think one of the most significant moments was when I got signed to 604 Records. I mean, their help and their guidance has just put me in such an amazing place and got me on this trajectory towards such a bright future. And I'm so grateful to everybody there for mm-hmm. every opportunity they've given me. So that was a pretty defining moment. And also winning that Young Composer competition when I was 9, that was huge because it made me realize, wow, I am pretty good at this. This is something I could make a career out of. Mm-hmm. So I'd say those two things are the most defining moments in my musical career so far.
Well, thanks to your mom and dad for producing such a beautiful, beautiful soul and aww. Such a great voice. You know, you've got such a wonderful instrument. I'm telling you, holy cow. You've got
thank
a very,
you.
Very bright future. Now, we have to talk about what's coming up for you.
Well, I have
besides
a
the
few
video.
Oh, yes, besides the hypothetically, if there were to be a video.
Just hypothetically.
Just hypothetically, I do have some more singles coming out. You guys could definitely expect at least an EP in the next year. I've been writing a ton over here in Toronto, so I'm just trying to get all that music out. I also have a live version of Elevator Music, of some of the songs off the album, coming out pretty soon, as well as some covers and some live versions of unreleased tracks. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of content happening right now, and you're gonna have to stay tuned and see. I mean,
see,
I don't even know
happening.
Everything.
Well, I know yeah. they half the time that's the way it is, right? Because they don't want you
I'm
overthinking
just
it. Yeah.
Yep. I'm just writing the songs and singing them and making the beats, but everything else, I'm down for.
Do you have anything coming for Christmas?
I think you guys just have to keep streaming Winter
okay.
Waves.
Okay. See, she's not giving any. She's learnt too quick. She's learned way yep. too quick. Okay, tell us about your fur baby, Gigi.
Oh my gosh. So Gigi is not mine, unfortunately. I wish.
Oh, I Gigi thought she was.
No, I do have a sweet little puppy. Her name is Duffy. Aww. She is a sweet baby. Gigi also, like, I like to pretend that she's my dog because she is the cutest. But she's my aunt's, my aunt's sweet puppy. But I do have my own little fur baby, and she's back home in Vancouver, and I miss her every single day.
That's gonna be so hard. That's gonna oh my be, god! I can't it be is. Without my fur baby.
No, I literally think whenever I face my mom, I'm like, "Show me Duffy right now. I need to see her."
Oh, I'll have to show. Yeah. I'll have to send you a picture of Mocha.
I would love to see Mocha.
I will send you a picture of her because she sits beside me for every single one that I do. And aww. All the interviews in the studio and stuff. So she is very cool, but I think she's going to have her own podcast soon.
Oh.
Just saying.
That is so cute. No, I've been super puppy deprived lately. I was just visiting my boyfriend's family with him, and they have a little dog that's about Duffy size named Cinco. Oh. So I like to pretend that he's Duffy.
Oh, well, at least you got a fur baby, you know, to,
exactly.
yes, that's the main thing. As long as you got a fur baby, we're all good, right?
Yes, exactly.
Are you going home for Christmas?
Yeah, I am. I'm going back in like 3 weeks, and I'll be back home for a month, which is going to be great.
Oh, that'll be so nice for you to catch up with all the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Have some
so
girl
excited.
Time. There.
Need my girl time.
There you go. Okay, so we want to remind fans that you can purchase and download the brand new single Dior on all streaming platforms. You can also add it to all your playlists and your socials. There might be some fans that are out there that just happen to listen to your playlist because they love it so much and get introduced to new artists like this. So it's really important that you put it out there. If you really like it, put it on your socials and put it on your playlist. You can also request it at your local radio station. Do you have time for a couple burning questions so we can get to know you just a little bit more?
I totally have time for that.
Okay. So first question, what was the last album that you listened to in its entirety?
Ooh. Okay. Still Over It by Summer Walker. It's her brand new album. It is a masterpiece. She has a song on there with Ari Lennox, and it is just gorgeous. I think the song is called Unloyal. It's beautiful.
Very cool. Okay, so I think you've answered this one, but favorite artist on the radio today?
Ooh, favorite artist on the radio today?
Any genre.
Any genre? Okay, I love Sabrina Claudio. She is one of my biggest inspirations. I also really love Charlotte Day Wilson. She's been popping off lately. Oh, I love SZA. She hasn't really released anything for a while though. And I'm always down for a little Ariana Grande.
Oh, she's so good. Oh, she's so
She's
talented.
amazing.
She's
Oh
good on
yeah.
every aspect of this business. You know, it doesn't
She
matter what she
is.
touches. Okay, so favorite thing to do when you want to unplug from the world?
Ooh, this is a good one. I love taking baths. Baths are my favorite thing in the world. I have a bathtub in my dorm. My dorm is like a hotel. I think it used to be a hotel.
That's good.
So, I mean, this dorm is crazy nice. I don't know how I ended up here. But I love taking baths. I love, anything to do with like self-care. So doing face masks, painting my nails. Yeah.
Very good. See, that's a part of this whole song. Is
Yes,
that?
I'm a very girly girl.
There you
I love
go.
all things feminine, so this song really projects that side of me.
Do you have a favorite designer?
Ooh, I'm gonna have to say
There you
Dior.
go. Okay. I just had a feeling. I just thought I'd ask anyway. Okay, so favorite series.
Ooh, I love cartoons. I would
Okay.
have to say my favorite series would have to be Bob's Burgers.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Okay, so favorite song of all time.
Oh my gosh.
It's
I
always
would
a
have
hard
to
one to pick, but
say,
yeah.
oh man, I love so many songs. Dang. Okay, I'm gonna say Belong to You by Sabrina Claudio,
Okay.
just because that song changed the way I wrote music.
Nice. Very nice. What was it about the song that moved you?
Her lyrics are so beautiful, and she writes more about ideas than about people, which I think is really cool and unique. And the production on the song is just stunning. It's beautiful. I actually had the honor of meeting Stint, the producer of that song and the whole record that that song is on, and I was like freaking out the
Well,
whole
see,
time.
all that manifestation works, right?
Oh yes, I'm a big manifestationer. I'm a manifester.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you could travel anywhere in the world and experience the culture of the people and just be amongst that culture, where would it be and why?
I would love to go to Italy, because that's where my parents met. My parents met in Florence on a train, and I've never been there, but it's very special to me, and I've always wanted to go visit. And I love Italian food. I don't know
I
if that's kind
know.
of a stupid
Nope,
like thing to go
I'm
to Italy
telling you.
for.
Nope. There's
I
nothing
think.
different than being able to be on some of those patios and just experience the culture, and the food is just incredible. I haven't been able to go yet, but I was born English, like just English tradition for me. Most of my family's from there, but I'm Italian born when it comes to my eating.
Yes, oh my
I'm a
God.
pasta girl. I love that stuff.
Absolutely. I
Not good.
love pasta.
I know, and I just have to cut it out of my life now. So it's just really
I
sad.
know,
It's
me
so sad.
too.
I'll figure out a different way. So I'll be doing the vegetables and everything else. Okay, so
Yeah.
what is your best, most useless talent?
Oh my gosh. What is my best, most useless talent? This is a good question. I can straighten my hair in like 5 seconds. I have very curly hair naturally. But growing up, like dancing and stuff, I just kind of started straightening my hair pretty young. And I think now I mean, I have a lot of hair. But I could probably straighten it all in 5 minutes, like with my eyes closed and like not
Wow.
miss any pieces. I'm just so
Very
used to it.
good. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
That'll serve you well when you're on the road and you're
Oh yeah, I
touring.
could do my hair and makeup in like 5 minutes. No promises that'll be good, but I can do
Very
it.
cool. Now, do you normally get your pets Christmas gifts?
My mom does.
Like toys and treats?
I've never gotten Duffy a present before. I hope she doesn't hear this. Usually it's my mom who goes out and gets Duffy a little bone or something on Christmas, but she has her own stocking.
Oh, cool. I've always had stockings for mine. They're like my
Oh.
kids, so it's just the way it goes. They always have theirs. What's going to be the first thing that you do with Duffy?
When I see her, I'm going to pick her up and I'm going to give her a huge hug. And I'm going to give her a little kiss all over her beautiful little fat face.
What kind of dog is she?
She's a Havanese, so she's spicy Latina. Yes.
Ah. Explains an awful lot, doesn't it?
Yes. She's feisty. We love her very much. She's a little tiny baby.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I think there's a lot of feist in you. That's all I'm saying. Well, it has been great to talk to you and have you on the show. I'd love to have you back.
Yes, it was so great to talk to you too. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's been an absolute blast. So you take care of yourself and have a wonderful holiday.
Yes, you too.
And just keep me informed and let me know when that next, I'll know for the video for sure.
Yes.
So, definitely. But then when it comes to the new music, just give me a shout and we'll take care of it from there.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. It was great to meet you and say hi to everybody out there on the West Coast for us.
I will.
A great big thank you for Molly and Nell for coming on the show. You can catch all of my interviews for your favorite artists at musicsjourney.com. Don't forget to check out the articles written with all the latest videos, the new releases and reviews, interviews with all the artists that I interview here on the show at nowandthenmagazine.com. I have some exciting shows that are going to be coming up for you that you don't want to miss. I've got Dan Davidson, Sean Jones, Katie Hurt, Jamie Warren, Jay Coots coming back, Cross Parallel, Rock Band FKB, Annika, Kea, Lemon Cash, David Boy James, Taming Sari, Alex Hughes, Andy Kim, we've got the Washboard Union, and so much more. Such great, exciting shows that I can't wait to bring to you. It is going to be so much fun. I will be doing a new Spotlight Artist show as well, so stay tuned for that. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey. I really appreciate you. Have yourselves a wonderful day, and I will catch you next time here on Music's Journey.
Take up this red earth and build a castle. Fill it up with sapphire and Dior. Have some fun. Grape crush, Cadillac, yeah. Seven shots in first class. Shea butter down the coast. Yeah. Spread that shit like it's on toast, honey. We both know if this goes right, you could spend your money or the shit like it's on toast.